Would you pray with me? God, thank you for this day. Thank you for the wonder of your love and who you are. And help us this morning, Lord, to learn a little bit more about who you are so that we can live a bit more faithfully as we seek to be your disciples. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're in a study of the core truths of the Christian faith. And we've examined over the previous weeks God, who was Creator, and God, who was our Father. We have looked at Jesus Christ and who He is and what His life, death, and resurrection means in terms of salvation. And this morning, we want to affirm the belief and begin a discussion about the Holy Spirit. We believe, Christians believe, in God, the Holy Spirit. Now, you may have heard that theme as Angela wove it through the opening medley of songs. God of grace and God of glory, on your people pour your power. Crown your ancient church's story, bring its bud to glorious flower. Grant us wisdom, grant us courage for the facing of this hour. God's power, where's that come from? And then a few minutes after that, we sang, Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Melt me, mold me, fill me, use me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. And then we repeated that, fall afresh on us. And then finally we sang, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. For your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence. Is God the Holy Spirit, the presence of God here among us? There's so much confusion in the church and in the world about who God the Holy Spirit is. I don't think we'll unravel the whole ball of yarn today. But I want to affirm, I want to say as clearly as I possibly can, I believe, we believe, the church believes in God the Holy Spirit. In Matthew, the very end of Matthew's Gospel, the very last words Jesus speaks before he is taken up in heaven, at least as far as Matthew's Gospel goes, we read these words. Jesus came to them, that's the disciples, he gathered them, and he said, All authority in heaven and on earth have been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. From that time forward, when people declared their faith in Jesus Christ and wanted to be counted among God's people, the church would receive them and have them go through the sacrament of baptism. And in the sacrament of baptism, it's always given in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We believe in a Trinity, and I know it's a hard thing to wrap our heads around. Next slide, please. But we believe in a Trinity. And if I could represent it somehow, we believe in one God. But this one God is known in three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, and we'll talk about why it's little in a minute. Now, the Father is not the Son is not the Father, the Spirit is not the Son, but yet they're all God, fully God, each of them, but yet fully God together. It's a mystery. It is. I mean, But that's the presentation of Scripture, that we believe in one God who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, the deal is, in most churches, we're pretty comfortable with God the Father, you know, God. And we can relate. Whether the image of Father is a powerful one for us or even a little bit negative for us as people, we can relate to God as Father. It makes sense to us. We can relate to God as Jesus because, you know, we read about Him. We can see who He is. We can see how He acted, what He taught, and so we can connect with Him. But there's always this disconnect for people when God is the Holy Spirit. And some churches take the Trinity and they take the Spirit and they try to make Him so small that He almost becomes invisible. Let's not talk about the Spirit because it's, yeah, that's what it is. We don't quite understand it. Can be a little weird. What is it? And so unfortunately, the church throughout the ages has fallen into a mistake at times when they have taken the Spirit and diminished His role as part of the Godhead. One God, three persons. Now, sometimes to counteract that, there are churches. Next slide. Oh, next one. Put them in the wrong order. There we go. Some churches who like... And so all you ever hear them talk about is the Spirit. And sometimes it's almost like they forget that the Spirit brings us to Jesus. Jesus takes us to the Father. And the Trinity can get lopsided. And the one nice thing about this being round is that you have to have all the spokes the same in order for round to roll. And if the Spirit spoke gets too big, it can't roll. But if the Spirit spoke gets too small, what? It can't roll. And we have to learn to keep God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in balance. So who is... What is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. And the language person is really important for us to understand about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Because we can connect and have a relationship with a person. And from the very beginning of the pages of the Bible to the very end of the pages of the Bible, we have the story of God who longs to live in connected relationship with people. And when that sin happened millennia ago and our life was cut off from God because of the sin of Adam, and you can read about it in Genesis 3. God still sought to have relationship with people because our God is a relating God. Now, how do we know God the Holy Spirit is, again, what we would call a person? Don't think of a body up there, you know. But it's language to say, hey, we can know that person. We can connect with that person. So how do we know that? Well, throughout the Scripture, the Bible gives to the Holy Spirit a whole list of characteristics that you and I would associate with a person. Check out that list. And if you want to have the Scripture passages at some point, I can give those to you. But it talks about the Holy Spirit who loves. It talks about the Holy Spirit who can discern and has understanding. It talks about the Holy Spirit who has the ability to make particular decisions. The Holy Spirit decides what gifts people get. We don't decide that. God, the Holy Spirit, does. It talks about the Holy Spirit who speaks and communicates to us, who is praying to the Father for you and me right now. A scene we should all have of heaven is that both Jesus and the Spirit are, if you can handle the figurative language, on their knees before the Father praying for you and me. We talk about the power of a praying mom. What about the power of a praying Savior? What about the power of a praying Spirit who is before God interceding for you and me? We can grieve the Holy Spirit. We can hurt the Holy Spirit. We can act in such a way that there is pain and hurt in the life of the Holy Spirit. And again, you can just go through those. The Holy Spirit teaches. He judges. He makes us children of God. He can be lied to. He can be insulted. He can be blasphemed. He can guide us. That's all the kind of language that we use that shows that the Holy Spirit can be connected to and related to. And we call that a person. God, the Holy Spirit, is the third person of the Trinity. And God, the Holy Spirit, is and clearly is shown in Scripture to be divine, to be God. There's a whole nother list. Next page. Not quite as long. These are attributes we associate with God, who are associated directly with the Holy Spirit. He's eternal. He began before the beginning and He will be till the end. That's a part definition for God. He is everywhere present at one time. That's a part definition for God. He's all-powerful, all-knowing. Those are part definitions for God. He was active in creation. He's actually called God in Acts and 2 Corinthians. And He has a particular work. We'll talk more about this next week or the week after. One of the things that the Holy Spirit does is He takes a child of God and He seals them. He guarantees their inheritance. Only God could guarantee our inheritance. He is God, the Holy Spirit. Now, why have I labored so long on that? Because the Holy Spirit is a person, not a force, not a power. Now, I'm a Star Wars fan. I wanted to get the clip of Luke, but they weren't very good clips. You know, use the force, Luke. Use the force. I mean, I love that part. You know, he's just about to blow up the Death Star. Yay, we win. Too many of us think that's how it works with the Holy Spirit. That the Holy Spirit is some kind of God power, and if we learn to use the Spirit, the power, well then, hey, everything works out, you know? I want this, boom, okay, I learn this, yeah, I do this, yeah. But the Spirit is a person, not a power. And that is a significant difference. If something is a power, I can learn how to use that power and make it work for me. Now, I don't really understand electricity, you know, not like some of my nerd engineer friends do who know the inside, outside, upside down of electricity, but I do know that if I take this three-prong plug and I stick it in here, that assuming that plug works, I should be able to vacuum this room, right? So let's see. Hey! And that'll work what? Pretty much, unless we live in Nigeria or have a power failure. 100 times out of 100 times, right? You can take any number of your electronic pieces of equipment. You can take your phone when you go home and the battery says almost out, and you can plug in the end and put it in the wall because you know how to use the power of electricity. You don't really care about electricity. You don't have a relationship or a connection with electricity. All you care is that when you want to use it, you can use it. Right? And that's the way it is with a power. If we think of God, the Holy Spirit, as a power, we're going to think, what do I have to do in order to learn how to use that power? What? For my pleasure. I want this room neat and clean, so I'm going to grab the vacuum to clean it up because the mess is making me annoyed. I want to have my phone work so that when I want to call somebody, text somebody, check my Facebook picture, whatever it is, I can do it. So I use the power to make sure I'm in control. When we think of the Holy Spirit as a power, then we think, how can I learn to control that power so that I can use that power? And typically, I want to use it for my benefit. Sometimes I have, you know, a gracious moment in my heart and I'll vacuum your carpet or I'll let you borrow my phone. But basically, I want to use the power for me, right? I mean, come on. Do you see how that can undermine appropriate understanding of God, the Holy Spirit? If I think God, the Holy Spirit, is all about me learning certain tricks or rules or prayers to pray or things to do so that He has to work for me, I've become, if you will, the God, and the powers become my servant. And folks, this can happen to all of us, and it can happen in very subtle ways. Now, I have taught on this here. I've taught on this, you know, all over the country in the ministry of Dunamis. And still sometimes a wrong understanding can creep into my life. So this goes back some years ago now. But one Sunday morning, I tend to come here early. There are women who pray in the sanctuary till about 7 o'clock. And then about 7, 7:30, they drift out. And one morning, I was sitting in my study, and I just had the strongest feeling, call it a word from God, call it an impression, call it something, a strong, strong impression from God that God wanted me to come in this room and just pray for all of the chairs. You know, and really pray for the people that were going to sit in the chairs, not the green chairs themselves. So after the women went out, I snuck in. They didn't know about it. You know, it's not my normal habit. It could look a little quirky. What are you doing? And I walked up and down every row, and I just slid my hand along the tops of every seat in the room. You're all creatures of habit. And so I know where some of you sit week after week. And if I would get to a spot and I know, oh, that's so-and-so spot, I might actually pray for them in particular. And I just prayed that that would be a really special moment with God, that worship that morning, there would be something about it that's beyond the tangible. And it was. Worship just exploded. God did things in the service that was wonderful and amazing. When I listen to God, the Holy Spirit, and do what He says, stuff happens. That's a good thing. The next Sunday I came in, you know, and I sat down in my study and I was doing my prep work and I thought, you know, prayed last week and it kind of went well. Maybe I should do that again. And so I did the same thing. And I went through the room and I stopped at different places where I knew people and I prayed. And you know what? God moved. It was another one of those very unique moments. It doesn't happen every Sunday, but God just... Third week, sit down at my study, begin to, you know, kind of review my message. And I said, oh, I should go pray. And I started in that corner and I got to about here. And it, you know, again, I've never heard an audible voice, but just deep inside of me, I really heard this deal where God said, what are you doing? I mean, really, what are you doing? I'm praying, God. That's a good thing, right? You know, I didn't really have this conversation. I'm making this up for you now. But, you know, yeah, this is a good thing, right? Prayer is a good thing. Yeah, it is. But why are you doing it? Oh, and why was I doing it? Because I had slipped into the mode where God was a force. And if I knew just the right prayer to pray, if I knew just the right way to walk through the sanctuary, if I knew just where to stop, well, then what? God had to act because I did what the force required, and therefore the force had to help me. And I subtly slipped into this understanding that if I did the right thing, God had to act because I knew the formula. I knew how the force worked. I plugged in. I push the right buttons. God, it has to work that way. And that morning, God said, stop. Just cut it out. And I dutifully went and left with my, you know, head between my tail. Got a good spanking that morning. But it's that simple that we can fall into the wrong trap. God, the Holy Spirit, is a person. And if God is a person, then I can have a connection and a relationship with God. And in that relationship, God can say, hey, I'd like you to do this, that, or the other thing. And then He'll work wildly. If He's told us to do something, we do it. But I can't then turn anything into a formula that says, God, if I do A, you have to do B. Because then who's in control? Think of any of your human relationships. There are certainly things we can do to keep those relationships as healthy as possible. So I know that regular conversation with my wife, sitting down, talking about the day, the week, life, feeling her pain and letting her into my life, is really critical for us to maintain a close relationship. But if I begin to do that in order to get something from her, now I'm abusing that relationship. Can you catch the feel? Do you understand this point about God being a person, not a force? And the beauty is, I can't relate to a force. You know, I know it works. Great. I know if I take, you know, my keys out of my pocket and stick them in there, it's going to hurt. But if I stick an outlet or a plug in there, it's going to work for me. But, you know, I don't cozy up next to electricity when I've had a bad day. I don't, you know, have a connection with them. But I can with God the Holy Spirit. Jesus didn't want to leave us as orphans. He was going back to the Father. How do we stay connected with God? He and the Father send the Holy Spirit who can be with each of us and all of us, all of our lives. Billy Graham he's written a fabulous book on the Holy Spirit. And just to take one line out of it, he said, it's not how much of the Spirit we have, but how much the Spirit has of us. See, in a relationship, I can give myself to the other person. I can say, I am at your beck and call. I will do what you want me to do. When things don't work out, I can go to that person and say, forgive me, help me. I'm scared. Could you give me courage? And I can have that kind of connection. Am I willing to let go of my life enough that I let God, the Holy Spirit, become a part of my life? R.A. Torrey is another teacher evangelist of an earlier era. And he did a lot of writing on the Holy Spirit. And again, he kind of takes this force versus person, and he puts it into a nice, succinct statement. If you think of the Holy Spirit, as so many, even among Christian people, do today, as a mere influence or power, then your thought will constantly be, how can I get hold of the Spirit and use it? But If you think of him in the biblical way as a person of divine majesty and glory, your thought will be, how can the Holy Spirit get hold of me and use me? Folks, the church needs to maintain the balance. We serve a God who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we need to keep the Trinity so that all the persons of the Trinity are active in our life. And the Spirit is the one God has given to empower us, to grow us up, and we'll talk about these next time, so that we can follow Jesus. And as we follow Jesus, our life will give glory to God the Father. They work in concert with each other. God the Holy Spirit. Now, for some sitting here, this may be kind of a new deal. Haven't heard a lot about God the Holy Spirit. Maybe been in churches when you've heard about the Father and the Son, but not the Spirit. I get that. That's why we're doing this series. And to you, I say, be willing to reach out to God the Holy Spirit and say, I am open to you. Show me how you work in the life of someone who is following Jesus so that I can be everything you want me to be. And to those of us who have kind of grown up and become comfortable with the Holy Spirit, I say, give him everything you have. Stop holding back. Let the Spirit speak to you and lead you. It's not weird or quirky. I mean, it's you know, sitting at your desk one day and you get this thought. That's how it works for me. It might work differently for you, but you get this thought. Go pray in the sanctuary. Okay. You might sit at home and you get this thought. Maybe I should call somebody, you know, and this name just comes to you. I was a pastor for about 4 or 5 years at the time. So this is back in the 1980s. Phone rang at home. Happened to be there, picked up the phone, and it was this young girl. She was a kindergartner. And I picked up the phone, and she said, "Hi, Pastor, this is Becky, and I just wanted to call and tell you I love you." I'm like, you know, and it's like, I don't think I even was able to respond and click, you know? It was just, you know, it's one of those super delightful moments. She's now serving in the military, by the way. That Sunday, next Sunday, when I saw her mom, I said to her mom, Eleanor, I said, you know, your daughter called, and I mean, her phone call just put a huge smile on my face. And I, by the way, I did tell Becky that, too. I said, you know, what's the deal behind the phone call? I mean, folks, this is back when you had to do rotary dial, you know. And her mom said this to me. She said, "We've observed that Becky gets these promptings, which seem to be from God because they're always encouraging or you know, helpful to someone else. And so whenever she comes to me with one of these little promptings, I've said, oh, I want to teach her to cooperate with God's Spirit. So I help her make those phone calls or write those letters so that she learns that's the Spirit of God and will live that way her whole life." I thought, what an incredible mother. I didn't have kids at that time. I thought, I mean, that's what God wants. That when we get those little promptings, we follow through on them. And oftentimes we find out later that really that was a God voice in our life. And that's as we cooperate with God the Holy Spirit. And so as I bring things to conclusion today, I, I say two things. One, as a church and as an individual, we have to keep the balance there. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And if the Spirit is a person, which He is, then we have to cultivate that relationship with Him. Learn to hear His voice and then follow through. How many times have you had a thought, I could call that person? Maybe I could drop that person a note. It may just be, and probably is if it's an encouragement in your mind, the voice of God the Spirit who's prompting you to help a brother or sister or friend or neighbor or coworker in a moment of need that you don't even truly understand. So I invite you today not only to be theologically correct and think of God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but to be discipleship correct in listening to and for the voice of the Spirit in your life. Let's pray. God, for some of us in this room, this is new stuff, and we're thinking. I pray, Lord, that You would be a part of that thinking and that You would help us take that step of faith to trust the Holy Spirit. Learn to recognize His voice when it comes, and then follow through as He prompts. For all of us, God, I pray that we would take that next step of faith, whatever it might be. It might be full surrender to be used by You, God, to change this world, to bring Your name, to bring good to places where sadness and hardship now live. We worship You and we adore You, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.